Happy Wednesday. It's Wednesday. Yeah, had to look at my computer. I'm Coach MJ here for your Wednesday Q&A. So in June, remember, this is our Hot Girl Summer edition of calls. And we are doing Ask Me Anything. So we're going to try this out. You know, I can't help but teach and whatnot. You know how I do. So there will be teaching, but I really just want to answer your calls, your questions. So make sure you post in the Q&A your question, because it's called Ask Me Anything. Anything. Just welcome. So I will, while everybody is coming in, I will do a couple of little announcements. I have an exciting new announcement. And Kathy is here with us, my handy dandy sidekick. Kathy is here with us, who is about to go to Europe for 2 weeks. What we gonna do without her, y'all? What we gonna do without her? I don't know. Anyway, this month is Emotional Eating Reset. So, on the website, you will see under courses the Emotional Eating Reset, and there are two things for you to fill out. The Reset Journal, which has like a little planner and stuff in there, is amazing. I've been using it every day. I told you I was doing it right along with you. And the Reset Guide. So you want to print those out. I did mine front and back. You know, I do like paper. And so I did mine front and back. So make sure you print those out. The goal is also to watch a video every day this week, which I did watch video number three this morning, all about the different types of emotional eating. And she lists seven of them I made notes. She lists seven of them, and then she tells us why you emotionally eat if you identify as that type of emotional eater and what you need instead. Like, what do you really need instead? So there's that. And it's very good. I'll talk a little bit about it in a minute, but Corinne did do a pop-up Facebook Live, which we are going to get into the podcast player, for anybody not on Facebook. So if you did not see it, whatever, don't fret, my pet. We're going to get it to you. But she did make some exciting announcements. And one announcement she made is, you know, we were going to break up the Sunday coaching call. We did it. It didn't work like there was some tech issues that we did not anticipate. That we thought we could fix, but we couldn't fix. So now we have moved on. We have heard your cry in Help Scout and in Facebook and in all the places. We listen and we don't judge. So we have leveled it up. You'll be getting an email about it today, but I'm going to talk about it here so that you know what we've leveled up. So no longer will the Sunday coaching, this is just for Sunday coaching, those long 2 hour calls. That's all we're talking about right now. No other calls, Sunday calls. So now they will be in its entirety on the website. They're not going to be broken up anymore on the podcast or on the website. But what did we do? We added back in timestamps. So each of the timestamped sections, so you can sort of see what the call was about. There's a little description at the top. And then you can scroll on down and look and see what each of them, like, does it apply to me? Do I want to listen to that section? Whatever. And if one person is talking about, you know, their care for their two-legged cat, and you're like, well, I don't have a two-legged cat. That doesn't apply to me. Then you just don't listen to it. You look at the next thing, and they talk about nighttime meat, and you're like, oh, I'm all in on that one. You can just scooch over to that one and listen to that. So you have to listen to the whole thing to see if it applies to you or not. And then on the podcast, y'all, this is only for Sunday calls. Only for Sunday calls. We have added chapterings. I'm going to try to show you my phone. I don't know. So I pulled up the live training replays. See right here, live training replays. And here is Kathy's Sunday call. Okay. It's called Feel Before You Eat, Weight Loss Coaching with Kathy. So I click on it. See, I clicked on it, and there it is. There's the description and all whatnot. And she talks about ground, and then here's the timestamps at the bottom. Now, if I click, this is backwards for me. If I click that little thing at the bottom, you see right there what I've got. Okay. If I click on this little down arrow right here, this is an Apple Podcast, by the way. Apple Podcast. If you're in Overcast, you got an Android or whatnot, I don't have that. I'm just showing you an Apple Podcast. You click this little down button right there. Here's all the chapters, y'all. It's chapters. And the chapters say introduction plus the lesson on grounding. Coaching with Kay. Why do I keep going to food? Chapter three, coaching with Geraldine. What the hell does my body need? Chapter four, coaching with Beth. I'm so worried. How do I stop eating over it? So you can just scroll through and then you're like, my husband keeps commenting on my snacking. Oh my God, I so relate. I just click number seven and it goes right to it, y'all. It goes right to it. It goes right to it. It just bypasses all the rest. Isn't that amazing? You know who figured this out? Not me. Not me, because that is way above my head. It was Yasmin. It was Yasmin that figured it out. And I want to thank her for all of her hard work and for figuring it out. So now we'll have the timestamps on the video replays, but you won't be able to skip ahead like the chapter, and you'll just have to slide your finger over till you get where you want to go. And the reason I'm showing you Apple Podcasts, because you're like, what if I'm an Android user? It's like 85 or 90% of our members use Apple Podcasts. So if you use something else and you're having any trouble, you need to email support at pmptribe.com. And Vern and Keith and all of those, Lori and Corinne's mama will help y'all. Corinne's mama won't help you. She'll give it to somebody that can help you though. But we're gonna take care of you. All right. Keith may be able to do it on this next call. Yes. Yasmin is amazing, y'all. Yasmin's amazing. And just go on yours, Val. It may not be, she's an Android user. Just go on there and see what you see, right? And it could just be as easy as that. Because I didn't know how to do it. I just went in there and started clicking shit that had like a little down arrow so that I could figure it out. That's all I did. And I figured it out myself. Let's see. All right. So I'm gonna get over here and answer some questions. Y'all are so good. Y'all have got keep them coming because we're gonna be here for another long time. I did listen to video this morning, I told you. And Corinne, you know, I always make notes when I listen to Corinne, because she's wise and she tells me things I need to know. So she said something so good in lesson three today. And I just want to call it to your attention. Every emotional eating pattern, which is the one, the seven she identifies in the video today, has a purpose. It has a purpose. It's trying to meet a deeper need. When we don't know what that need is, we turn to food. So this month, this week especially, is all about noticing. What kind of emotional eater do you identify as? Like, and you're going to be more than one. Let's see. One, two, three, four, five. I am five of the seven. I am five of the seven. So, that's how it is. Elena said, oh, that's only an Apple podcast. Oh, well, I think you can do it in the other podcast, but go check it out. I think I'm right about that. Okay. So I'm going to get to getting. Is it okay? Arlie asks, is it okay to have multiple Ask Coaches threads going at the same time? Yes. And it's actually advised because Ask Coaches is searchable too. Got it, girl. So it is nice if y'all have like are working on one thing, like, you know, caring for my two-legged cat, so that if somebody types in two-legged cat in the chat, I mean in the search bar, that's all they pull up. And then if you want to talk about doable hunger in another one, then when somebody else types in doable hunger, that thread will come up. So it's actually super nice. You don't have to do it that way, but absolutely, if you're dealing with a couple of things, like maybe you're working back and forth on a with a coach on something and Ask Coaches, and then something else comes up, you just start a new question. And then you're working with a coach on one thing, and then you're also working with a coach on this other thing that just came up. So that's totally fine. Let's see. Do you ever feel like you got there and it doesn't take 80% of your mind and energy to. I'm thinking you're thinking about like planning food. Am I hungry? Have I had enough? Yeah, it gets way easier. It gets way easier. Food does not occupy my mind nearly as much as it used to. Now, I still do think about food. I think we all do. What are we going to have? And you still have to have some kind of awareness or set yourself up to not overeat. So I always say, I eat in front of the TV. So guess what I do? I serve myself on a smaller plate so I don't have to think about it. And then I pause when that plate is gone. And then I get have a decision to make. Do I go back and get a little bit more or do I stop right here because I've had enough? But you always need to be aware because it's your body and you're listening to what your body has to say. I am much more attuned to it with practice. And I was probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 months into, I felt like I was like, like, I felt like I was really getting a handle on things. Like, I was, my habits were decent. Notice I did not say perfect. They were pretty good. I was getting in a groove and it started to feel boring, and that was good. Because, boring is great for weight loss. We don't want it to occupy our brains and our time and our energy on high alert for the rest of our lives. Like, our goal is to make weight loss boring. So that we can get on with our life and do something else. And so you, when it gets boring, you have kind of arrived. When it's like, oh, it's time to make my plan. No excitement. Oh, I think I've had enough. No drama. There's always a little bit of drama from time to time, depending on what it is. But when you get to boring, that's good. Because people always think it should be exciting for the rest of your life. No. It's not. It shouldn't be. You remember when you first got in the car, learning how to drive. I was 15 in the South Carolina. You can drive at 15. And which now that I've had three children, that's stupid, but whatever. And remember the first, like, you were on high alert in the car. You didn't turn, well, I did turn the music up, but two hands on the wheel. Your head's on a pivot all the time, double checking everything, looking at your odometer all the time, like on high alert all the time, paying attention to everything. At one point, driving got boring. Imagine, I'm 51 years old. Thank God it hadn't stayed exciting the whole time. Now you still have to pay attention, right? You still have to be aware, but you can now get to Target and not know how the fuck you got there. Right? You can get kind of on autopilot because your brain is kind of taken over. Same thing happens with food and eating. It's on high alert. And then, eventually, but you still have to be aware. You can't just like never think about the rules of the road or never look for like obstacles that might get in your way or any of that kind of stuff. I love a good analogy. That one just came to me. That was a good one. I love it when I come up with a good analogy. Do you know Christy? I'm gonna tell you something. Christy said, I don't like driving. My family calls me Miss Daisy. I have gotten driving anxiety. I have interstate anxiety. I don't like to drive anymore. I do not like to drive on the interstate. I am starting to have some anxiety. Do y'all know that that is a sign of menopause? Did you know that? And I sent it to my family when I found that out. I was like, see, I am not crazy. I am not crazy. And then I got on an accident on the interstate a couple of years ago. And it got worse after that. But I hate to drive on the interstate. It just scares me to death. It scares me to death. I know. And it's, but it's, Dawn, it's specifically driving anxiety that has to do with your hormone levels in your brain that don't fire like they used to, and things have to come up with different pathways and things. I'm not sure exactly. There was a whole reason. Yeah, that's so crazy. All right. Trying to work on my enough. This morning I had a leg workout that kicked my ass. I did that yesterday at Pilates. Came home and had my breakfast, said, okay, that's enough. Then about 20 minutes later, my stomach started feeling like I was hungry. I drank some water, still hungry, grabbed a yogurt, had a few bites, and now my stomach feels full. Did I overeat or am I satisfied? I'm not uncomfortable, just full, not hungry anymore. I mean, your body could be asking, especially because you did a big workout, like a heavy leg workout. It could have just needed a little bit something extra today. I would just pay attention to it, notice it, see if it happens on days that you don't work out, because you don't want it to become a habit, right? Of like just like topping off your tank. But a lot of times when you do something very physical like that, your body could be like, we, you know what? We need a little bit more. We need just a tiny bit more. But I love what you did. You had a few bites, you didn't eat the whole thing. And then you just kind of noticed it. I love that so much. I love that so much. So just wait for hunger for the next time. That's perfect. Valerie says, "Thank you for existing. You're just the best." I appreciate that. This makes me feel good whenever I come on these calls. Y'all might know how to make, because I don't get that in my really life. Nobody's telling me that shit. My husband certainly isn't. Oh, Lord. Does it ever get easier? Yeah. So I just kind of talked about that. When I have a whole day where I successfully resist my urges, I'm so exhausted. I feel like I've been hit by a train. You know what? First of all, when you're resisting is such a strong word, I want to make sure that you're having the right conversations with your urges. So there is fighting with your urges, and then there are is allowing urges. And I just want to talk about the difference. So if you have an urge to eat, there are two ways the conversation can go. It could sound like, the fuck is wrong? Why can't you stop thinking about damn day? You're never gonna lose weight. This is ridiculous. Why do you keep wanting to have this bullshit? You know it's not good for you. It doesn't make you feel good. This is so ridiculous. I can't. Why are you even thinking about this? You're never gonna lose weight this way. That's fighting an urge. Another way to handle it is, I see you. Of course, I want Cheez-Its. Y'all know that's my go-to. Cheez-Its are lovely. They're lovely. But the reason you want Cheez-Its right now is because you've got this big project at work. Cheez-Its not going to fix it. When you eat Cheez-Its, you're just going to turn around and that big project's still going to be sitting there. What do you really need right now? Do you need a break? Do you need to break it up into smaller sections? What do you need? Difference. Now, will you be tired at the end of the day? Yes. But one will leave you feeling defeated, like you've just beat yourself to death all day long. And the other one makes you feel cared for, but tired. So you can go to bed tired either way. So that's the first thing you want to work on. Look at the conversation you're having with yourself. Is it a kind conversation? Or is it like, why can't you get your shit together conversation? Two different conversations. And we want to make sure we're having the right one. Okay. When I do not successfully resist and have a slip up, I am burdened with shame. Is there ever going to be a day where it's just smooth sailing, where I don't think about all this all day, every day, where I'll just live free from what feels like a second full-time job? I mean, I talked about that with the driving, and I think that's a great analogy, and you will notice that it gets better. But there are two things you want to work on here. One is, am I resisting the urge by beating myself up, by blaming the food, by blaming myself, by thinking I'm broken, by thinking I'm never going to get this, by shaming myself, or am I allowing it? Like, of course you're here. Cheez-Its are delightful. And it's been what you've done. Anytime you've been stressed, you've always gone to food. So, of course, that's the first thing that pops into your head. But it's just a short-term solution. It's just a little blip, and it's not gonna make this project go away. So why don't I just get busy on the project? So there's that. And then the other thing is the shame. Look, I am not perfect. I overeat. I ate off plan the other day because I forgot what the hell I wrote down. I literally just forgot. I had written something for lunch and I ate something else. And when I went back to assess, I'm like, well, shit fire. I didn't even like, oops. No shame. I was like, it happens sometimes. Sometimes you forget what you write down. It's all right. I overeat sometimes. We're not supposed to be perfect. We're supposed to be consistent. So when you notice that you overeat, and remember too, it's probably from emotions. And like Corinne, that's why I take notes on this stuff because I can't remember unless I write it down. Every emotional eating pattern has a purpose. It's there for a reason. Is it there because it's what you know? It's the only tool you've ever had for so long. So of course you're going to go to food. That's going to be the first thing your brain throws up for a very long time because it's the only thing it's ever been offered. Overwhelm, food. Sadness, food. Love, food. Happiness, food. And some of them you're going to catch and you're going to be able to redirect them. And sometimes you're not, and you're going to overeat or you're going to eat when you're not hungry. You know, you're going to eat past enough. You're going to eat when you're not hungry. And that is okay because that's normal. And this thing makes me like, I would say, I don't know, like, do I identify as a normal eater? Probably 90%. I feel like a normal eater. Like, I guess I would say 90%. I feel like a normal eater. My husband's a normal eater. He wears a size 30 pants. He weighs 135 pounds. He's a tiny little, wee little man. And he overeats. Normal eaters overeat. They do. Normal eaters sometimes eat when they're not hungry. And I want to be a normal eater. And sometimes it happens. And if it can happen for somebody who's never had a weight problem, AKA my husband, he's ballooned up, y'all. He was a 29 waist when we got married. Now he's a 31. He's really packed it on. But if he can overeat sometimes, and that's what normal eaters do, then maybe it's okay to do sometimes and turn that shame button down. We hold ourselves as overweight people who emotionally eat. We hold ourselves to an a standard that is not achievable. If perfection isn't doable for normal eaters who've never had a weight problem, how do we expect it to be like an easy, like never do it for us when we have been programmed to do it? It's all we've known. So of course it's going to take us a while. Of course, we're never going to be perfect, and that's okay. That's okay. No judgment, no shame. You overeat, and it's okay. I just wish everybody could kind of, get that. And then the other thing that happens is you just beat yourself up so bad for one mistake or one overeat. I'm not even going to call it a mistake. It's not a mistake. It's what you do sometimes. We just lose our shit over it. And then we throw away all of our progress, or we quit no BS, or we throw away the weekend because we had one overeat or one off-plan eat. So just think about it that way. All right. How would you classify eating for connection? If I'm not connecting enough with others, I think I may be trying to connect with myself by eating. Does this make sense? Yes. So here we go. It's comfort eating. Look, I'm looking at my list. That would be comfort eating. Comfort is a type of connection. And so Corinne said in her video today, video three in the emotional eating reset, that it's your comfort eating is an emotional exhale. Food is a soft landing place at the end of a long day or at the end of the day. You need support and to feel cared for and to feel connection. And that's what you're looking for. So you have to find a way to comfort yourself and connect with yourself. And in all of these, I feel like give ourselves credit, right? And so it's just that you're wanting that like companionship, comfort, connection. So then my question is, how do you, first of all, connect with yourself? And then what do you classify as connecting with others? Because I think sometimes you have to broaden your view of connection, right? Like you have to kind of broaden what it looks like for you. So, if you think connection is like in-person connection, that might not always be feasible. Like my daughter lives in LA. I do not live in LA. I live in South Carolina. We don't see each other very often. And so if I thought that connecting with her meant I had to be physically in front of her, then that would be really hard for me. But sending her an Instagram reel is connection. Sending her a TikTok to me is connection. Her liking my Facebook post is a connection to me. I'm like, oh, she saw that. So if you broaden your horizons of what connection with others looks like, then it also makes it easier to connect. Because when you have rigid rules around what you think connection means, or that somebody has to say a certain thing in order to feel connected. And here's the thing, connection is just two thoughts. Because I will tell y'all, I still feel very connected to my grandmother, and she's been dead a long time. But all I have to do is think about her, is, eat something that she used to love. Corinne talks about, eating livers because it reminds her of her granny. And I eat gizzards the same reason. And pound cake, honey. That was my Susie's two favorite things. Gizzards and pound cake. She would love it. She loved it. And so that makes me feel connected to her. But I'm not physically with her. She's not liking my Facebook post. She's not texting me. She's not giving me a phone call. But I can still feel connected to her. Let's see. I'm fairly new here, Shannon. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed with all the information. Should I finish the basic no BS course before I start the emotional eating? Absolutely. Shannon, everything that we do inside of no BS is based off of the no BS weight loss course. Now, we give you the monthly focus and we give you all those other things because some people are like, they come in and they plow through, right? Like they just come in and they're like, they're ready to go. And then, but a lot of our members take a couple of months to go through the weight loss course. So whether you listen to it on the podcast or you watch the videos, we do want you to get through it. And it's really not that long if you just want to kind of power through it. But all of our calls during the month are focused on what the topic is for the month, emotional eating. And so like Kathy did a call last night about emotions and how it's tied to overeating. So as you go through the course, if you see that call or you see that replay, you can absolutely listen to it, pay attention to it, but not if it's taking you away from the No BS Weight Loss course. Same thing with Facebook. If you are in Facebook, this is for, I don't give a crap if you knew or you've been here for 50 years. If you are in Facebook, but not listening to the content, not doing the emotional eating journal this month, because you're in Facebook, if you're using all of your no BS allotted time to be in Facebook, I'm going to tell you to stop it right now. Stop it. You need to get back to that website or on that podcast player. Listen to the emotional eating stuff. Because Corinne's in Facebook, I'm in Facebook, Kathy's in, we're all in Facebook. But like, I took a whole fucking, I listened to 1 7-minute video. I took a whole page of notes. And I'm the head coach at No BS. I'm the head coach. So if you are doinking around in Facebook and not getting to it and learning it and applying it and figuring it out, I wish it worked by osmosis, but we've got to listen to it. Identify one of my emotional eating patterns. This next, for the rest of the week, I'm going to identify when am I emotionally eating? That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to be doing. We're doing a challenge week for some non-members who want to be members. So mine this week that I'm working on is transition eating. I'm not eating dinner until 6:30 at night. I'm hungry. I've added a snack in the afternoon, But when I have dinner, I want to be done. And so last night, I think I went a little bit past enough because just because it's that transition and it's like I'm tired at the end of the day and all that other stuff. So like I'm going to pay attention today a little bit more because I noticed an overeat last night. I'm doing this work too, y'all. I'm doing it just like y'all do it every day. But I just don't make it a big deal that I overate last night. I use it as an opportunity to be like, wonder why I did that. Oh, I know. Long days. Got a call from 6 to 6:30, 7 o'clock every night. I'm not getting done. It's later than I typically eat. It's later than I typically sit at my desk. Of course I'm tired. So what can I do tomorrow? What can I do tomorrow? A little bit different. You see the different way I process my overeats? That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Yes. So focus on the no BS way. I went off a tangent. Y'all know I do that sometimes. I go off on a tangent. But yes, if you have been, if you're just coming in, you can listen to the calls, but please finish the no BS weight loss course. And then if you're new here, you get an email from me every week. You can let me know how you're doing. There's that. Karen fucking Brent, what you got? I'm asking anything. Coworker has behaved like an asshole, and my boss has said to pretend nothing happened. I have told him that's not possible. I will be courteous, but please assist me on how to move forward working with her. Aren't you about to be out the door? How much longer are we talking about, Karen Brent? You ain't got to work with her for 6 years. You retiring, right? 72 days. You acting like you gotta be play nice for the next 40 years. Okay. Just saying. I prefer a paper trail with any interaction I have with her, and for good reason. I do not want to work one-on-one with her. Being asked to ignore her behavior is a hill to die on for me. Since he's going with avoidance, do you have any advice on how to continue to handle this like Karen fucking Brent wants to? I've not eaten or drank over this. That's good. I want to just continue being the badass bitch who has respect for herself. What do you want to get out of it? The way you want to behave, what do you want that end result to be? What you going to get from it, Karen? I'm waiting on your answer. I don't want to be fake and phony. Okay, but what by if you don't pretend something happened, because he said pretend something happened, let's say you don't, what you gonna do? You gonna confront her? You gonna be a bitch? Like, what are you gonna do? I just wanna know how you wanna behave in this situation. How do you wanna behave in this situation? And then what would the outcome of that be? I want to be professional and cold. Okay. So, say bless your heart. There you go, Karen Brent. Okay, professional and cold. Okay. But how is that different than pretending nothing happened? I don't want to chit chat or pretend. He didn't say chit chat. Your boss didn't say to chit chat with her. He didn't say be her bestie, go out for drinks. He said just basically let it go, Karen. And you're like, I don't have to bring it up to the bitch, but I certainly don't have to be nice to her. Yeah, you don't have to chit chat or be friends. You just have to work with her. How does that feel when you think that? Because it sounds like if he's saying pretend nothing happened, you're like, no, I want to confront her. You don't even want to confront her. You just want to be like, I'm you and you're me. I mean, I'm me and you're you, and I'm out of here in 72 days. I'm just getting through it. He wants me to continue being that nice chit chat, like we're buddies and friends. What happens if you don't do that, Karen? What if you're a professional? Yeah, it's funny because I remember the words of the great and powerful Oprah Winfrey. And one time she was like, I used to like just hate people on the inside. Like I'd be so mad. And I was gonna ruin their day. And she was like, I was the only one suffering. They're just out and about living their best life, you know, and I'm in here like, yeah, all the time. So if it bothers her that I'm not the same as I was, she can die mad or get over it. There you go. Great thought. That's a great thought, Karen, because it's on her, right? It's on her. Then you just get to show up like Karen fucking Brent, professional, for the next 72 days. And then you say, if it bothers her, if it bothers her that we're not the same, she can die mad or get over it. Doesn't have anything to do with you. So you get to have your behavior, and now you're giving her permission to think some type of way about it. I love that. I love that so much. How do you create a self-image of being a slim, healthy woman when your brain is screaming? No, you're not. Okay, so if slim, healthy woman does not resonate with you, I don't, slim, healthy wouldn't resonate with me. Like, you have to find something that resonates with you. Like, let me see, how would I describe myself? I would describe myself as healthy, and I would describe myself as being comfortable in my body. Like, notice I'm not saying excited or sexy or slim or whatever. I'm healthy and I'm bigger than, I'm not a size two, y'all. I'm in it like a 12. I'm not like a tiny person. So slim doesn't apply to me in my mind. How do you want to talk about yourself? Let me see if you answered. I don't know if you answered or not. We got a lot of questions. Yeah. But you have to find something that resonates with you. How do you want to see yourself? Muscular and strong. That's what Paula says. Karen's living her best space with her purple hair, living her best life. Yeah. Valerie, I know size 12 is slim. I was talking to size 24 girl over here. I was in a 24 for many, 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 many years. Thick like grits. Hey, I know that's right. I know that's right. But you just have to find what resonates with you. How do you want to identify? And then start, and what feels good to you? Like, when you describe, when you think about how you would want to describe your body, what would it be? Like, you can list out a bunch of descriptor names on a piece of paper and see which ones land for you, that make you feel good and like empowered and whatever. Joyful and healthy. I love it. Oh, Paula said, you said anything, where'd you get your top? I bought this top in Bainbridge, Washington, when I went to visit my accountability partner, Jen Saya, the other few weeks ago. And I love it. I love it, love it, love it. It's my favorite. I love it. I bought two shirts there. Stay tuned. You'll probably see the other one coming up. After listening to the videos, I've realized some of my emotional eating is the feeling of no control. I was just there, Mary. My sister has written me off, which is actually okay, but it affects my relationship with my 14-year-old niece. I no longer have control over when I see her. I just have to see her when she's at my parents' house. Okay, but what do you have control over? So your sister has got a child and you can't see her like at your will, right? But you do have control. You have to remind yourself. For somebody who is looking for control, you have to remind yourself of what you do have control over. You have control over your relationship, with your sister. You could try to repair it if you wanted to or not, depends. You have control over that. You have control over making a plan so that when your niece is at your parents' house, you can go over there. You have control over that. You have got control over how you show up when you see your niece. What kind of time do you spend with her? Is it intentional time, or do you go over there and just think about how, how much you don't like your sister? And kind of squander that time. You get to decide all of that stuff. You have control over all of it. You have control over all of it. Maybe you've got control over Maybe not. I'm sure she's 14. She probably got a phone. You have control over whether you text her or not. Maybe you don't text her because you don't want to rock the boat any further with your sister, which is, but you've got control over it. You could text her if you wanted to, or call her, or FaceTime her. But you've got control over whether you do that or not. And you've got your reasons, one way or the other, about how you handle those situations. So, and this is something good to take to ask coaches too. Like, go in there and list out what you do have control over and what you feel like you don't have control over, because we can also help you turn it around to see how you do have some control over it. You absolutely do have some control over it. Alyssa says, oh, I don't know the store I got it at. I have to tell you. I don't know where it is. Alyssa says, I plan on having a yasso bar or piece of dark chocolate after dinner if I'm not full. I plan it because I know I will want it, but I know I'm eating the food because it feels good. Isn't that then emotional eating? I just don't know if I should be doing that. I think it's absolutely fine because you said if I'm hungry. So you're planning things that you love, a yasso bar or dark chocolate. Of course, you're going to feel an emotion when you have that food. What you just like, I've got, Jenny salted caramel ice cream. That brings me joy. And I'm looking forward to having it. And when I get there to get it, I'm going to get giddy because I love salted caramel and I love ice cream and I love Jenny and all of her flavors. But I'm going to be excited, but I'm also going to be hungry when I have it. Emotional eating, when you're wanting to work on it, is when you are emotionally overeating, right? Like, of course, we're gonna have joy in our food. Of course, well, joy is one of the types of, joy was not a good word, but of course, we're gonna enjoy our food. We wanna plan things that we love. We wanna plan things that taste good, that we look forward to. That's the beauty of food. It does have like a, an emotional component to it. But what we're talking about emotional eating reset, are those transition times or those times when you feel like you're lacking support from other people. And the only way you know how to get support is to eat. Not because you're hungry, but because you're looking for that food to fill an emotional void or to create an emotion that you're missing. But you are still gonna get joy from your food. You're still gonna enjoy your food and plan things that you love. So you still have those two things together. Sometimes I want to rebel against keeping track of everything. That often leads to a fuck it day. Okay, so first thing you want to check is, are you planning from a place of things you really want? Because a lot of times we notice people rebel against the plan when they're making a should plan, a diet plan. Nothing good on it. It's like chicken, broccoli, no white sugar or flour, and like, cottage cheese if you hate it. Or in Kathy's case, beets, right? Like, I plan beets because I read it on the internet. It's good for me and I hate it. So you want to make sure you're doing that. And then because you're just sick of the rules, you're sick of everybody telling you what to do. So you've got to turn that around and say, I'm doing this not because I have to do it. This is not a rule that I have to plan. I'm gonna plan today because it makes my day easier. It sets me up for success. It helps me make decisions about my food ahead of time. It's not a rule that you have to plan. It's a four basic. We'd love for you to plan. But you've got to take the control back. You've got a choice. You could be like, fuck it, I ain't never planning again. But when you talk about planning, like it's a gift you're giving yourself, it doesn't feel like a rule, and there's no reason to rebel against it. I love doing this because it takes food off the table. The version of me that makes this plan is thinking about weight loss. What's best for me? I do not want the jackass who's been had a hard day and is exhausted and tired and frustrated to be in charge of my weight loss. I don't want to give her power. I want to be the one when I'm sitting here with my good thinking brain on. I want to be the one that tells me what to eat. I want to be the one that makes those decisions. In the moment, I do not want the tired, frustrated version of me in charge of my weight loss. Because all she wants is what's always been in her toolbox, food. And she don't give a shit where it comes from. So I'm choosing to do this today because I want my life to be easier. I want to have decisions made ahead of time. I got enough decisions to make elsewhere in my life. I do not need for food to be another decision I have to make all throughout the day. You hear that conversation? Doesn't sound like a rule then. It sounds like self-love. It sounds like care. It sounds like a decision that you are in control of. When you're sitting around thinking, I got a plan because Corinne says, she said, I got to do all this shit to lose weight. She don't know me. She can't tell me what to do. It feels like a rule that somebody's telling you to do. And then, of course, you're going to rebel. Have a tickle in my throat. Sorry. I've been losing and gaining the same 2 to 4 pounds lost at the moment since September of 2024. I'm down approximately 48 pounds in 2 years. I know I'm having extra bites, a bit of nighttime eating, but no big overeats. I feel like I'm practicing for maintenance, but that level is at least 50 more pounds away. Why am I not doing what I need to be doing to continue losing? I know what to do. Why don't I do it? Tell me, Lee. You got to answer that question. What happens in the moment when you're taking those extra bites? And fun fact, there's a new call this month. What's it called? Stop fucking around with the same 5 pounds. Ba-bam. And it's coming up this month. Check your calendar. We'll do that. But we've got to figure out, you answer it. Why aren't you doing it? What emotional eating pattern is creating you taking those extra bites? What you working on this month? What emotional eating pattern do you notice is creating those extra bites for you? Tell me, and let's figure it out. Let's figure it out. I know. I want Kathy Hartman to do that call. So she has to say, you know, Kathy Hartman doesn't say, Kathy Hartman doesn't say the F word. Yeah, I know. I wish you would. Lee, if you want a accountability partner, you've got one in the chat over there. My emotional eating pattern is it tastes so good or I deserve it. There's an I deserve it one. I deserve it. You've done for everyone else all day long. Now it's time for you to do for yourself. You want acknowledgement. I feel like I'm reading off like what you call them things? Like, you know, your horoscope for the day. I'm an Aries. Here's what you were looking at today, Aries. So you've got to start acknowledging what you're doing for yourself. That's what has to happen. You've got to give yourself credit where credit is due, and it's due on you. What are you doing all day long? And then it tastes so good, y'all. That's an easy one. It does taste good because it's food, and I only plan food that I like. So, of course, it's going to taste good. But you know what else is good? Weight loss, getting towards my goals, going to bed proud, figuring out how to become a normal eater. That's also amazing. But unless you're planning bullshit food, the food is always going to taste good. It better. It better. Life is too short to eat shitty tasting food and to wear uncomfortable shoes. That's my mantra. It better taste good. It's amazing. It's food. It's lovely. Let's see. I joined over 2 months ago and haven't lost weight, feeling disappointed and hopeless. Have got sleep and water on lock. Did track eating for my first, for the first few months, but you've only been here 2 months. My overeats were approximately 25 to 50%. Please tell me what to do next. I'm not currently tracking or planning. Okay. I love that you're doing sleep and water. Love it. I really do. that is not going to get you weight loss. We got to work on the overeating. I mean, it just has to happen. So I don't know if you're the same weight, if you are up. Don't know what is going on with me, y'all. If you've gained weight or you're the same weight. Okay. If you're at the same weight, the good news is you're overeating half the time and you're at the same weight. So if you could just overeat only, if you could get that number up, down. So if you were only overeating like 40% of the time, then you would probably see weight loss. Now, sleep and water, I would work on am I hungry? Because the two reasons I would work on that is because you've got sleep and water on lock. If you are tired or you don't have enough water, your body will send up hunger signals. And since you've got that on lock, probably waiting for hunger is going to be a little bit easier for you. And I want you to do one of two things, Anonymous. Email support at pnptribe.com, attention MJ, or go to Ask Coaches, but get some help. Come in here. Bring your out. What do you think? You don't have to have it all written down and in a chart and all that bullshit. What do you think? Do you still think that you're overeating about 50% of the time? If you are, let's get that down to I'm only overeating about 40% of the time. That's what we want to do. You don't have to go to I never overeat. That's not where we're trying to get to. Trying just a little bit. Get a couple of wins under your belt. Have you gone through the No BS weight loss course? Like I want to make sure that you get all the help you need. And you're anonymous, so I can't chase you down like a thief in the night, like a dog. I can't chase you down. You're gonna have to let me know. You're gonna have to reach out to us, and I will help you myself, or we will help you and ask coaches. When you log on to the website, iPhone 4, you go to the website and it's the very first thing on the menu. Ask coaches. It's where you go. Who said in the chat that they wanted to accountability with the person who was just kind of fucking around with the same 4 pounds? It's Lee in the chat and she wants to be your friend. Audrey. Audrey. Meet Lee. Lee, meet Audrey. Besties. No BS besties for life. Let's see. I feel like I make some progress for a few weeks and then something will happen and I get thrown back into disarray. No, that's not what happens, okay? Because you don't get thrown back. Like that says I have no control over what happens. I'm just thrown, they fling, take me by the collar and fling me back over there. Here's what happens, Anonymous. Life goes along great. Life is, it's just, regular life. Nothing major, nothing crazy, nothing, whatever, out of the ordinary. It's just be lifing. Plus, you got a little bit of excitement, from joining No BS, whatnot. And you go along, and then something happens. Your car breaks down. Your partner says something kind of jackassy to you. Your bosses treat them like, nothing ever happened, sweep it under the rug, whatever it is. And your brain, because you've always eaten over it, says, oh, girl, Anonymous, I know what's going to fix this. It's food. It's the only thing you've ever given it. So it's like, girl, you know what? You can shut your brain off just for a minute with some food because it's always worked. So your brain is going to offer up what you've always given it and what has always worked, which is food. So that is normal, right? You didn't get thrown into anything. You had old patterns that came back because it's like a, like a pebble rolling down a hill. It's tracked. It's got a groove there and it feels comfortable because you know it. Because you know it. So just because you joined No BS, when something happens in your life, something happens, life's, something happens, something crazy goes on. right? And then it just, you just notice that you just go back to your old patterns. So now you have to learn from them. Okay, the next time my boss says, or the next time my mama says, or the next time my partner does, what do I want to do instead? What did I really need? Because you're going to catch yourself after first. You'd be like, oh gosh, I did not show up well in that situation. That's not who I want to be at all. Wonder what I can do differently next time. Because it's probably going to happen. And so, first of all, you've got to say, I just went back into old patterns. It's my habit. I'm human. I'm normal. That's what happened. Instead of feeling like we've gotten thrust into something. Because when you get thrust into something, you have no control. There's no way to fix it. And we don't want to be powerless. We want to be in control. Okay, that's number one. I get off so easily. Do y'all see that? I'm a coach at heart, and I see a thought and I have to like catch it. I have to catch it. I feel like I might never get past this few weeks. I can just about manage a decent eating style, but only when everything is going in my favor. That's right. When everything is perfect. So I want you to think about something that has gotten you back on your old eating patterns. A situation that you're, that has just happened, right? Would you think about that and ask yourself, what do I want to do differently next time? Because y'all, we think that our lives are so like just off the rails and blah, 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 whatever. No, there's typically the same 5 or 10 things that happen. You get pissed off at work, your partner says something stupid, your kids disappoint you. You get a big something, your boss doesn't say something or does say something, whatever. Somebody gets sick, right? You get sick, somebody gets sick. So you got to decide in those situations, who do I want to be? And then the minute you notice that you're going off or you're going back to your old patterns, that's when you insert the conversation. Oh, I see what's happening here. But what happens is it goes in, you notice that you're starting to go back into your old patterns and your old habits. You notice that. And what is the only thing we're conditioned to do? 99.9% of us. Well, fuck it all now. I knew I couldn't do this. Who was I to think I could be a normal eater? This is ridiculous. I can't be a normal eater. I'm messed up. Only thing I have in my life is food. May as well just say, throw in the towel. May as well just be, just, I know I'm just gonna be big for the rest of my life. Then we fucking eat. And then in about a week, we're like, shit, I gotta go back in the aisle and listen to that stuff again. I am never gonna get, then we beat ourselves up for coming back. Once we get a handle on ourselves and we come back, we beat ourselves up because we came back, because it took us so long to come back. So that's what happens. You get stuck in this spiral because every other time you've been on a diet and you screwed up, you quit on yourself. So guess what? Just like your brain offers you food when you're stressed or you're anxious or whatever, the minute you go off plan or you overeat or you notice yourself going into another pattern, what's the first thing your brain is going to say? You should quit that group. You ain't never going to be able to do it no way. You should go ahead and quit right now. And what will that get you? It will get you relief. It'll get you relief because you're beating yourself up over it. But then what happens? The relief is so short-lived. The relief at lasts probably a day or two while you eat yourself. You eat yourself. You don't eat yourself. You eat everything. That's what happens. And you get that relief. And then what comes on? Shame. That's how we have so many return members coming. That come back because they're like, I gotta get away from this. I can't stand the way I'm talking to myself anymore. I'm never gonna get it. And then their brain is like, you should quit. Don't reach out for help. MJ says, reach out for help. There's no help for you. She's gonna see how broken you are. She doesn't wanna help you. She just says that. How many of y'all have thought that way? Ask coaches, it's for people with bigger problems than me. I don't deserve to get help. I should be able to figure this out on my own. Does that sound like anybody's script? Sound like anybody's script? Yeah, all the time. Soon you quit. It feels good because you don't think about it anymore. Footloose and fancy free. Get to eat what I want. Yes, honey. And then about 4 or 5 days later, there you are on the Google. Fastest way to lose weight to get my summer body in the next 2 weeks. I'm gonna just tell y'all, I don't give a shit what you have done. I'm like, we're like the priests of no BS. We don't judge. Is that what priests, they don't judge? They just help you. That's what we do. There's no judgment. And I'm gonna tell you something. There is nobody in this between our coaching team. We've got bingers. We've got drinkers. We've got people on weight loss drugs. We've got secret eaters. We've got nighttime eaters. We've got stress eaters on this coaching team. And guess what we did? We worked through it. And guess what we can do? We can help you figure it out too. And it's the joy of our life. I don't think y'all even get that. I think y'all don't even understand the level of love that we have for y'all. We see Corinne and she cries. I'm not a crier. But I think about y'all all the damn time. All the time. Y'all are the joy of my life. My kids are gone. Y'all get all my love. Y'all, I ain't got nobody else to give love to. Y'all get it all. I mean, it's just the truth. I don't even remember what the fucking question was. Oh, I remember now. I just go off on tangents. Yes. But that is what happens. You just go back into your pattern. You're not broken. You're normal. When you notice you're doing well for a few weeks and you go into an old pattern, it just means your brain is functioning. It is normal. That is your indicator light. That's the engine light on your car saying, I should ask somebody. You know what I should do? I should email MJ. You know what I should do? I should go in to ask coaches. And see, and they'll help me figure this out. That should be your go-to thought. Not fuck it all and give up on yourself. That's not the answer. That ain't never gonna get you weight loss. Never. I'm not a mind reader. I don't have a crystal ball, but I can promise y'all. I can promise you, quitting will not get you weight loss. I know it. I know it. I know it. Put on my priest hat. I know things. It won't get you weight loss, but reaching out might. Let's try the thing that might. So reach out after I've yelled at you, Anonymous. Anonymous is like, fuck you. You've gone off on a tangent and yelled. I ain't reaching out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Kathy said, make sure I'm going to say this in case it might hop off. Tell me what the thing says, Kathy. What does it say? Post it in there. I know Karen Brent will make that happen. She's the queen of the memes. On Sunday, Corinne is doing an emotional eating weight loss call. It's going to be emotional eating, whatever. So as we, this is the message. I will keep answering questions, but I want to make sure this gets in here. As we close out on the first week of the emotional eating focus, you're supposed on rebel eating, what does the rest of it say, Kathy? It's just rebel eating. MJ's crystal ball. I wish I did have a crystal ball. I really do wish I had a crystal ball. Oh, here we go. This week on rebel eating, fuck it eating, comfort eating this Sunday. Please share this form. Oh, share the form, Kathy. So, if you want to be coached on Sunday by Corinne on your emotional eating pattern, there's a form that Kathy just put it in the chat. You click on that and you can fill out a form, and we're going to pre-select coaching because we want to hit. We don't want like the reason we're doing it pre-selected, we don't want like four rebel eaters. Like, we want to touch as many emotional eating types as we can. So, go listen to that video today. Today on the emotional eating reset, and then fill out this form. So, because that's why we're doing it. We just don't want like, because it would be, our luck. Like, everybody's a comfort eater, everybody's a fuck it eater. So, all right. Let's see. I heard an earlier call talking about hot girl summer. I love, love, love this. I just said we're gonna have a hot girl call summer because I was like, I like hot girl summer. So we're changing up our call schedule this summer. So we've added a regains call that Corinne is gonna start doing. We're adding a stop fucking around with the same 5 pounds. The Q&As turn into ask me anything. We've got some excitement coming up next. Well, Corinne already told she's in July. We're having like a giveaway. You can win lots of fabulous prizes, but one big prize is going to be you're going to get to go to, ne you she's going to draw 20 names of people that participate in July, not lose weight in July, participate in July, and you can go hang out in Corinne's basement for a day of coaching in Nashville. You just have to get there. I think I need to start eating to not hungry instead of satisfied to move the scale. I'm within 10 pounds of goal and have been for a while. What's the best way to do that? And is that even a good plan? That is not a good plan. You want to eat to enough, Tammy. So I would do, if you're 10 pounds from goal weight, first thing you want to do is see, is there any emotional eating hanging on for you? Any bites, licks, taste, any sneaky eats, whatever. Like, you want to first identify that. That's number one. Number two, once you clean all of that up, you want to really dial into your doable hunger because sometimes as you go down the scale, your cues may change or you get used to eating a certain amount or putting a certain amount of things on your plate. That sort of changes. So you want to dial into that. That's number two. And then the last thing we would do would be to level up your food. On the good, better, best scale. That's the very last thing we work on. So first look for those emotional eats and then go to ask coaches too. Let us know if you're like, I don't eat emotionally ever. Like there's usually something a little bit got to be cleaned up. I'd be more, I like to be more comfortable in my body. I feel shame in my size and now my aging skin body, it has stopped me from raising my hand and not wanting to be out, even though he never says it. I'm afraid I shame my husband. Okay, so you have to work on that first. The only thing you know is what he said. And a lot of times when we think other people are thinking a certain thing, it's because we think it ourselves, which is very evident in this question. You feel shame in your body, so you assume that he feels shame about you as well, which is just not true. Is your husband a liar? You have to ask yourself that. He's not a liar. If he's not, I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying he's not lied to me. Maybe he's not lying about this. See how I just open it up a little bit. He might not be lying about this. I didn't say he's not. I didn't dismiss the thought. He might not be lying about this. It's I know these things. I know he doesn't lie. What do you know? I know he does not lie to me. And I also know out of his mouth said, I am not ashamed of you. If he is not a liar, could those things be true? That's what you wanna, that's what you're gonna wanna to work on. And then think about what do you like about your body? I had to do this a lot whenever I was in at 26. I love my eyes. I've always loved my eyes. I love my hair. I love my thumb. This is my nanny's thumb, y'all. Every time I look down at it, it reminds me of my nanny, my daddy's mama. We have the same thumbs, especially if I have on clear polish, because she always wore clear polish. But, like, do you see how little that was? My nanny's thumb. You have to figure out, focus on the things you do like about yourself. And it could even be about your personality. Right? I'm kind. I love that I'm kind. I like that about myself. I like that I'm compassionate. I like that I'm a dog person. I like that I tolerate these cats that live in my house. What do you like about yourself? I like that whenever I need help, I reach out. It's not all about falling in love with your body. You want to move because a lot of people are in disdain and shame about their body. And they're like, I want to love my body. There's a lot of steps in between. I can notice what my body does for me. I can notice that I get breath in my lungs and that my heart beats and all that other kind of stuff. I can shift that much, but it might not be all the way to love. We can't go from one extreme to the other. You got to think about those little level ups. And when you notice, the other day, I even told my mama this. I hate my knees. I don't like my knees. I don't like the way they look. I just don't. And my mama said, one of the few times, that's why I remember it, because she never says anything nice. She said, "I like those shorts you have on." And I said, "Thank you, but I hate my knees." Like, why do I even have to qualify it? You know what I mean? Like, it still just rolls off the tongue. I hate my knees. And she was like, "Well, you can do surgery and get that fixed." I was like, "Yeah, but I ain't doing all that bullshit. I'm fine. I'll just hate my knees." So as I was walking out of her facility, I was feeling down. Like, I started thinking about my knees and how much I hated them. I do not like my knees. Anyway, as I was walking back to my car, I was like, "Well, I don't have pain in my knees right now. I can squat on the floor if I need to." I started thinking about my knees, like, what all do they do for me? And it turned the temperature down because I didn't like the way I was feeling about myself. So I just started focusing on what my knees do for me. What do they do for me? What do they give me? They're attached to my legs. I've run half marathons. That's nice. But I had to start thinking about, I had to like shift my focus away from what I don't like about my knees to things that my knees do for me. Does that mean I love my knees? No. No, it does not. It does not. But it does mean that I can appreciate it. I can appreciate my knees. I don't have to love my knees. So that's sort of where you start. Barb says, in a nutshell, I need to get off here too. God bless. We got two more questions. I'll be quick. I'll be fast. In a nutshell, I have a 34-year-old daughter who lives in my neighborhood. There's a lot of transference happening. And after a lot of work, I realized she suffers from self-loathing and puts it on me. Yeah. She is ugly to me a lot. And after the last episode, I've decided to distance myself a bit. She's also pregnant with her second child and not making great decisions about meds she takes, nutrition, etc. I know I'm in my head that I'm no longer responsible for her and her decisions. I have a lot of guilt feelings and stress about her, especially since I have made the decision to step back. I will still respond to her, just not initiate contact or offer advice. I am eating over this. Thoughts? Yes. So, I mean, that's a big transition shift for you. That is a big transition shift. So she suffers from self-loathing and puts it on me. And I had to get to that place with my mom too, 'cause she's miserable. She's miserable. And so when she says things to me, my go-to thought now, is it must be miserable in her head. I would hate to live that way. That just would suck. That would be terrible. I would hate to be that way. I would not like to live in her head. That for me turns the temperature down and gives me a little bit of compassion for her. Does it excuse the things she says to me? No. No. I'm not giving her a pass, but it opens me up to a little bit of compassion for her. It cracks the door open for her a little bit because she's a miserable woman. I would hate to be in her head. And so you've decided to distance yourself. I want you to write the story. I don't want you to do this and ask coaches. Okay. I want you to go post and ask coaches. I want you to write the story about why that is the very best decision for you and for her. You may have to sit on it. You may have to sit on it for a day or two. I had to do this with my mama. And then the other thing too is, Barb, I've done this so many times. Relationships course with your daughter in mind, with this new relationship. I've talked about that relationship has saved me, that relationships course. And I'll tell you why. When I first went through it, I went through it with my mama because I was estranged from her. So I had to write that story. Now I take care of her. I had to redo it with that in mind, that new relationship in mind. And so when a relationship changes, like you have changed this relationship, you've got to go back through and write from a place of power why that is the best thing for both of y'all. I had to do it with my mom. And you're going to have to take some time and rewrite the story of why this is amazing for y'all. Why this is the best decision for both of y'all. How is it going to benefit y'all? And take all of that into Ask Coaches. The relationships course, Mary, there's, worksheets and stuff in there. Relationships is on the bonus courses and it is available to you after 30 days of membership. Sometimes when I plan, I'm not sure where I will be at lunch and not sure a snack will hold me until supper, dinner. And so I write dine out and try to find the best version of what I like, either just a drive-through burger and drink my water or get a sandwich at a store gas station, for example. Is that okay in planning, or do I need to drill down to say where and what exactly I will eat? I'm about 12 weeks in the program. That's totally fine. A level up for you for that would be decide ahead of time, are you going to eat a good food, a better food, or a best food? So a lot of times when I don't know where I'm going to be, I'll put like, for lunch, like if it's third, I go out to dinner on Fridays. Usually it's like good food. I eat an appetizer, I have drinks, I do all the things. So if I was going to go out on Thursday, if I was going to be out running errands and I didn't know where I was going to eat lunch or what was going to be available for lunch, knowing that I'm going to eat what I really want tomorrow, I'm going to eat a lot of foods from that good section and the good, better, best. That's typically when I eat more of my good foods. I would on Thursday, I'd probably like, you know what? I'm going out tomorrow night. I think I'm only going to eat better or best today. Like if I do pick up. So you that's a level up. You don't have to do that. All right. So Kathy Hartman just put the form again, the Airtable form. You want to sign up for coaching. Let us know what kind of emotional eater you are. All that stuff. I was worried about this call would ask me anything. Girl, we done gone over. Y'all did a good job. Yay, y'all. All right. Y'all have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to y'all later. Bye, everybody.